Elon Musk outraged overnight, threatening to primary members of Congress who vote for Trump's mega bill. This is just a big collision course. Says he'll back challengers to members of Congress who vote for Donald Trump's big, beautiful bill. Yes, because it comes with the largest ever debt expansion. Record breaker. You vote for this, you can't say a thing about Democrat spending. You will shatter what Joe Biden did. One thing I kind of like about that, what Musk is doing here, he's not going after Trump. Have you noticed this? I mean, they're obviously in a fight, the two of them. He's not going after Trump. He's going for Republican. Why? He knows that Donald Trump tried. He does. He knows that. So that's why he said it. Now, Trump considers it a personal attack, you know, that he's going after the big, beautiful bill at all. But Musk gets it. It is these whore Republicans, and they are, they're whores. They do not care about the country. They do not care about their own grandchildren. They're psychopathic. Or they figure, well, I'm going to make so much money on the back end from this sitting on committees because that's how they're rewarded, you know, once they leave office, that I'll just pass it on to my kids. Or they just don't care. Elon Musk wrote, every member of Congress who campaigned on reducing government spending, that would be all of them, and then immediately voted for the biggest debt increase in history. He says, vowing they will lose their primary next year if it is the last thing I do on this earth. Good. 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 I'm glad. In fact, what I really think Musk should do is buy a big, beautiful ranch somewhere and start taking over the Republican Party for when Trump is gone. He's not perfect. There are a lot of things about him that I don't like, but he needs to begin fielding his own candidates, backing them the way Soros does, so that after a cycle or two, people are afraid. They're afraid to do stuff like this because it is the only way forward, folks. We are going to go broke. Earlier, Elon Musk fired off a few more posts on X criticizing the bill as insane. I mean, $5 trillion debt ceiling increase. And taking direct aim at the conservative Freedom Caucus. See, that's where he's wrong. How can you call yourself the Freedom Caucus if you vote for debt slavery bill with the biggest debt ceiling increase in history? I get it, but they're kind of captive to Trump. You know what is so unfair here? If you want to lop almost $400 billion off this thing and get it at least back down to the Biden spending levels, you know you can do that? Go after the moderates who insisted that we subsidize high-tax Democrat states with the salt tax write-off. Nobody has yelled about them. Trump should be shaming them the way he is the Freedom Caucus for just wanting their grandchildren to not be poor. Because that's where this is going. Look, Kevin Hassett, who is Trump's economic policy chair, economic council chair, generally a good guy, did not deny, folks, we will be at $60 trillion in debt in 10 years on this path. And I want you to hear what he's saying. And folks, understand, there is a lot of great stuff in the big, beautiful bill. I want it to pass. I understand that it's going to have to pass with this level of debt. It has to. If I was up there and I had to vote for it, I would. And I'd freaking hate it. But folks, we don't get these illegals out, country's gone. You will be ruled by the next Zohran Mamdani, or maybe actually him, because he's going to flip those states blue. Those are the breaks. Who caused this? Elon Musk is correct. He's going to go after these people. He might have named the Freedom Caucus, but he says everyone who votes for this. Good. Take them out. Make them pay. Why? They larded it up. I like that they forced this crap sandwich down Trump's throat to get here. And let me, this clip right here will show you where we actually are. Okay. And again, I don't want this bill to fail. There's no way forward. And that makes me really angry. You can hear the righteous anger in my voice. We have to. My kids are going to live under communism if we don't get these people out. Democrats know it. You're watching that party tilt. Folks, one amnesty and it ends. It just ends. The country's done. You know it. I know it. Trump knows it. And these Republicans are taking advantage of it. Anyway, here's Kevin Hassett, economic advisor, not disputing Maria Bartiromo. She says, we're going to be $60 trillion. We're $36 right now, trillion in debt. We're going to be $60 trillion in debt in 10 years. That is not sustainable. It's not. And listen to how he says they're going to get around it.
This 10-year expectation that we're going to have deficits of $2.2 trillion a year and debt of almost $60 trillion by 2035.
Look, the bottom line is that if we get 3% growth, then we're going to have $4 trillion more revenue than the CBO score, which means that already the deficit's going down by trillions. The CBO has told us that the tariffs that are already in place, President Trump's tariffs that are already in place, are going to give us extra revenue of $2.8 trillion over 10 years. And the DOGE cuts, people forget about the DOGE cuts. They don't count in the big, beautiful bill because you can't have discretionary spending in a reconciliation package. We've now accumulated DOGE cuts that we can send to the House and the Senate send back and to give the people their money back of $160 billion. That's almost $2 trillion over 10 years. And so this is the biggest deficit reduction, the most fiscally responsible package in the history of American fiscal policy.
Yeah.
And so anybody who claims to speak for fiscal responsibility and opposes this bill and our actions is just pushing partisan propaganda.
You can hear Maria. Yeah. She knows she's being fed a crap sandwich. Here's the first problem on this, okay? This.
Look, the bottom line is that if we get 3% growth, then we're going to have $4 trillion more revenue than the CBO score.
Average growth last 20 years, 2.2%. Trump can't control that. And Trump can't control that when he's gone. He just can't. You can't make that promise. I mean, look, if we had a chance to get to 3% growth under anybody, it's going to be Trump, okay? I have no doubt he'll do it a couple times. But you can't count on that. And he's not going to be here in 6 years. You can't count. And here's the other problem, as Lee pointed out yesterday with what Kevin Hassett just said. Yeah, you got money coming in for the tariffs. $27 billion in June, by the way. That's fantastic. But you got two problems. Number one, they're going to go away. They're not going to be around in 10 years. They may not be around in 24 months. Because the goal, as Trump has said, is to get to 0-0. Get the tariffs off us. It's a tool. It's not a permanent funding structure. And number two, Lindsey Graham already spends all the tariff money over there in the Senate. They added $1.2 trillion to this monstrosity to lard it up, I think, to tank it in the House as a way to stop the immigration enforcement. I think that's what they're trying to do because they know Mike Johnson promised the Freedom Caucus, okay, we're going to go dollar for dollar. If you're going to do tax cuts, then we're going to cut spending. And they did it. They pulled it off for the most part. Not a good bill, but it's they just barely got there. They knew that was the holy grail for the Freedom Caucus and Lindsey Graham, who's the budget chairman, just blew it up. So I really think what this is to put they're poison pilling it between making Trump approve a bill that keeps 1.4 million illegals on the Medicaid rolls, undermines his self-deport thing. I mean, Trump is doing an amazing job. He is. Do you realize 1 million have self-deported? 1 million, they're gone. New York Times says it's 770. New York Post calculations 1 million. So it's right in there. They're out of the workforce. That's how they know they're gone. And folks, that is why the working class got the largest ever pay raise ever recorded under any president. And the largest pay raise of the last 60 years. It was actually across two Trump terms, 1.7%. In 5 months. Why? Because the illegals and the employers aren't stealing the money anymore. Bushes don't like that. They want to keep you poor, beaten down, and surf-like. These are evil, 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 evil people. They are not Democrats. They are globalists. They are not Republicans. They are globalists. They love the Chinese system and they want it here. That's the breaks. But I would leave you with one thing. Even though they're all trying to tank the bill with poison pills, especially Lindsey Graham, who, by the way, thinks your kids have an extra $1.2 trillion to throw at this thing over what the House spent. He didn't care. He didn't have kids or a wife, which is weird. He doesn't care. as a poison pill. They know the buttons to push to get the Freedom Caucus to rebel here, but don't count Trump out. It's the number two story in the nation right now. Everybody's talking about this. It all goes something like this. Hero dad dives into sea to save daughter who fell from Disney Dream Cruise. Treaded water for 20 minutes before holding her head above the water, which is kind of exhausting when you get looking at the waves. Treading water for 20 minutes before they're pulled to safety. So fearless father jumps off a Disney cruise ship. His daughter fell over Sunday, miraculously grabbing her and then treading water. He's lucky he got her before she went underneath the waves. Then treading water for around 20 minutes until they were rescued. Not exactly speedy on Disney's part. They'd already drifted significantly away from the ship because, those waves will really pull you. The Disney Dream ship was headed from Florida to the Bahamas when the emergency alert suddenly boomed. Mr. M.O.B., man overboard. Port side, man overboard. So the girl apparently fell overboard from the fourth deck, about 50 feet. Dad dove right in after. Okay, a couple of things here when I saw this. Hero dad? Look, that's your job. And what's he going to do? Stand there? No, the kid goes over. You're going over. You got to go. It's your job. Treading water, however it ends. Treading water for 20 minutes before they're pulled to safety. We see these stories, and badly, a lot of the time, especially at rip currents, people go out and try to save a child, and they end up dying. The child ends up back on the shore. But the good news is this, both a little girl and a dad successfully rescued, quote, lots of praying people on this ship, posted passenger Dwayne Smith, who also reported the little girl fell overboard and her dad jumped overboard to save her. They say the deck is open air, although its railings are, get this, chest height to an adult or higher than most kids' heads. She's about 5. Yeah. Well, then it came out that, according to witness reports, the hero father sat her on the plexiglass railing to take a photo, and she fell over backwards into the ocean. This poster said he should be horsewhipped and arrested for reckless endangerment, not commended for heroism. Whatever the case, he did what she's supposed to do. As a dad. I'm still shaking my head. Okay. Meanwhile, y'all. Holy cow. Holy cow. This Oron Mondami, this is the future of the Democrat Party. They know it. They're just afraid to say it. They want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to go full bore communism. They love the shortcut this guy took. But they also want to pretend it's not who they are until it's too late for you to do anything about it. Except for Democrat Senator Chris Murphy, who made this admission about the New York mayoral candidate, now selected in the Democrat primary.
Do you think so that Mamdani is the future of the Democratic Party?
Well, I think his message, his economic message, is the future of the party.
His economic message is the future of the party. And what is that? That was seize means of production. We need to seize means of production. Now, he admits the people are not ready for this yet, so they're going to have to be walked up to communism. And that is, folks, that is literally, unless Google has changed it this morning, the definition of communism. It'll be interesting to see if Google has changed it this morning. No. This is Google's put in definition of communism. Communism is a political and economic ideology that aims to establish a stateless, classless society with common ownership of the means of production. What did Mamdani propose?
Right, or whether it's the end goal of seizing the means of production.
Google, definition of communism. Common ownership of the means of production.
Have you endorsed him yet?
Oh, wait, wrong one. I'm sorry here.
We are unapologetic about our socialism. There are also other issues that we firmly believe in, whether it's BDS, right, or whether it's the end goal of seizing the means of production.
Okay, so Senator Chris Murphy, Democrat, tell me again.
Do you think so that Mamdani is the future of the Democratic Party?
Well, I think his message, his economic message, is the future of the party.
Great. Okay. Cool. I'm glad we know, because what he's describing here is political persecution using the tax system. This was from yesterday.
You're saying we're simply describing the types of neighborhoods that would see these increase in taxes, and yet by invoking race, do you run the risk of potentially alienating key constituents?
I think I'm just naming things as they are. And ultimately, the thing that motivates me in this is to create a system of fairness. It is not to work backwards.
Yeah, he says he's going to tax white neighborhoods. It's classic communism. Seize the means of production. Now, here's what's interesting, okay? He even admits people aren't ready for this yet.
Whether it's BDS, right, or whether it's the end goal of seizing the means of production, is that it is critical that in the way that we organize, in the way that we set up our work and our priorities, that we do not leave any one issue for the other, that we do not meet a moment and only look at what people are ready for, but that we are doing both of these things in tandem, because it is critical for us to both meet people where they're at and to also organize for what is correct and for what is right.
Okay. So understand, like, Hakeem Jeffries, who is the minority leader in the House, he's a Democrat, wouldn't endorse Mamdani. Folks, it's not because they disagree. It's because they're afraid you're not ready yet, and they'll scare you even more than they already have.
Have you endorsed him yet?
I have not.
So what's holding you back from endorsing him right now?
Well, we don't really know each other well. Our districts don't overlap. I have never had a substantive conversation with him.
I've never had a substantive conversation with him. He's talked to him before. He knows who he is. It just wasn't substantive. They don't want you to know until it's too late. That's why they're sneaking their voters in on over the border under the cover of night. They don't want you to know till you wake up in the middle of it and it's too late. But it's good. Because if we're going to go to this kind of authoritarianism as a country, and we will. We don't have a dozen more alligator Alcatrazes firing off all day. 5,000 a pop. 5,000 a pop, because that's how many beds there's ultimately going to be there. Deport, 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 deport. We're going to live in that world. Because the Democrats will take power again, and they will amnesty. They will. So I want Americans to choose this. If we're going to flirt with this, I want Americans going wide-eyed into it, because I want them to deserve it when it happens. But I hope it doesn't happen. So, you know, we're going to get a snoot full of this. They're not hiding from it. At least some of them aren't.